Today we're going to learn the sicha called Lech Lecha, like Parshas Lech Lecha, hyphen the seventh of the month of Mar Cheshvan, the Hebrew month we're in now. It comes from volume 20 in the Lakuta Sichas, and this is a sicha that the Rebbe spoke on Parsha Lech Lecha in 1981, and it came out published in the edited version in 1982, or actually it was probably 1980 and 81, because the English calendar didn't move yet. Now, in this time of the year, in the month of the holidays, let's start with a interesting story. There was once a chassid that came with hundreds of chassidim that come to Crown Heights for Yom Tov to be at the Rebbe's court. And after the holidays, the Rebbe would have private audience with people that came in. They never get to see the Rebbe. They're only in town once a year for the holidays. After the holidays, people were allowed in. They had appointments and you were able to get a meeting. In the later years, in my days as a kid, it was already groups would go to see the Rebbe together. It wasn't possible for every individual to get their own private audience. So there was one guy that came to the Rebbe after the holiday, and he said, you know, thank you so much for hosting me and having me in your court and synagogue the whole Yom Tov. But he said, to be honest with you, Rebbe, he said, I didn't get so much inspiration when I was here. It was nice, but you know, I'm not leaving with this extra, you know, excitement that I could go back home and my whole year is going to be different. So the Rebbe told him that the previous Rebbe once said that when a person comes on the holidays of Tishrei, with all the holidays, you have to look at it like a person who goes to the marketplace to buy merchandise. And that's what you do in a marketplace. You go there, you load up your horse and buggies, your trucks, whatever. You load up all your merchandise and you go home with it. And then what do you do with all the merchandise when you come home? When you get home, you have to unpack what you collected up when you went to the marketplace. So the Rebbe said, the job of collecting up all the inspiration in during these holidays is in order. When you go back home, slowly you unpack it and you take it for the whole year. And remember the story throughout today's sicha. So today's sicha begins like this. On the 7th of Cheshvan is a very special day. This date, the 7th of Cheshvan, which we're soon going to find out why it's so special, it always lands in the week of the Parsha of Lech Lecha. Every year, the 7th of Cheshvan is going to be in the week where you have Parsha Lech Lecha. He actually says in the footnote, sometimes it could be on the Sunday of the week of Lech Lecha, sometimes it could be on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, like it was in 81, and sometimes it could be on a Friday, like this year. The 7th of Cheshvan is always in the week where we read, it's called Parsha Lech Lecha. Now, there's a known rule that the Rebbe brings down many, many times from the famous sage of the, known as the Shalah. He's named that Shalah for the name of his book, the Shnei Luchas HaBris. And he writes that all the holidays of the year, Moadei Hashana, Moadei means the time of the year, have a connection to the Parsha of when those special dates come out. So if Chanukah falls on a certain Parsha in that week, it means it's connected to that Parsha, etc. So also, therefore, the 7th of Cheshvan must have a fundamental connection to Parsha Lech Lecha. And especially the 7th of Cheshvan, because it always falls out in Lech Lecha. It's not like some holidays that fall, sometimes it falls on this Parsha, sometimes on the Parsha, another Parsha. But Zion, 7th of Cheshvan is always in Parsha Lech Lecha. There must be some very important intrinsic connection. What is the 7th of Cheshvan? What's so special about this date? The Mishnah tells us that's the day when you start to ask for rain. Now, we're talking about in Israel. In the diaspora, we count from Shmini Atzeres, but in Israel, they start to ask for rain from the 7th of Cheshvan. Why do you wait until the 7th of Cheshvan? So the Mishnah says, because the 7th of Cheshvan is exactly 50 days after the holidays. And in order for every Jew that would come celebrate in Jerusalem and Temple Mount, you would come to the temple for the holiday, and you went back home. So the Jews that lived the farthest from Jerusalem, took them 15 days to travel. Basically, we don't want them to get soaking wet on their way home. It's very inconvenient like that. So you don't start asking for rain yet. You know, when people say that the Jews control the weather, I guess it's true. So don't pray for the rain until the last people get back home. Where is the farthest place that people would go? That would be to the Euphrates River, called Nahar Pras. Now, this river today, it's like a river that goes through Turkey. I was trying to look on the maps exactly where it goes. You could follow it yourself where it is today. But basically, it's considered to be like the Babylonia. So the Jews had to get to the furthest place where people lived, called Nahar Pras, the Euphrates River. That's where they would get to, so we wouldn't start to pray for rain until then. So it is also ruled in the books of the Rambam, in the laws of the Rambam, and the code of Jewish law, in the big Shulchan Aruch, and also in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, that in Israel, we start to ask from the 7th of Cheshvan. So we understand that it's not just because of a negative reason that the rain shouldn't cause pain or suffering to the Jews until they would get back home at the end of their boundaries where they had to get to, but it means that on the 7th of Cheshvan, everybody, it's still a continuation that everybody has the excitement from going up, Aliyah L'Regel, going up for the holidays, for Sukkot. And as the famous commentary on the Code of Jewish Law called the Shach, as he writes clearly, that every time that Jews would go up L'Regel, they would go up for the holiday, they were not able to come home after the holiday until the 15 days. And during these 15 days, it was like they were still in Israel and busy with the holiday. And as long as you didn't pass over the Euphrates River, it was counted as if you were still really there in Jerusalem. In other words, you were busy with it. You didn't like start to think about your home, your work, your business, and that. You were still lingering with the holiday for 15 days. So it's not just the negative that because we don't want you to go through a discomfort with the rain. It's the positive that you still feel the holiday is lingering for another 15 days. That means that the 7th of Cheshvan is the day where we conclude, we're stressing that the holidays are basically completely over when it gets to the 7th of Cheshvan. That means we're emphasizing the descend from the ascent when you went for the holiday. You go up, Aliyah L'Regel, you made an Aliyah, you went up for the holiday, and you're going down back home. You come down from the sanctity of holiness of the Temple of Jerusalem. And every person comes, as the expression is, tachas gafnei v'tachas teinasei, which basically means it's an expression that you come to under your vineyards and your date trees and so on, meaning you go back to your regular world of materialism, your commerce, etc. Either it's in Israel somewhere, or it's outside of Israel. Until the last Jew of Israel has to get to over this river, meaning completely into the outskirts in the diaspora. So basically, that's the idea of the 7th of Cheshvan. Till the 7th of Cheshvan, you feel the vibrance of the holiday from your Aliyah, and now you're going back down into your material world. Based on this, we have an unbelievable question. What is the connection with this week's Parsha, Lech Lecha? Lech Lecha speaks about exactly the opposite. The theme of this week's Parsha is where God tells Abraham, Lech Lecha, pick up and go, leave. Me'artzecha, you're from your land. U'me'me'ladetcha, and from your place of birth. U'me'beis avicha, and from the home of your father. and you should go to the land where I'm going to show you. You should go to Israel. That means that Abraham has to pick up from his place of residence, and he has to leave the diaspora, because he lived in Haran, which was the diaspora, material parts of the world, and go to Israel. That means the theme of this week's Parsha is to leave the diaspora and go to Israel. And what did we just say is the theme of the 7th of Cheshvan? The opposite. We said the 7th of Cheshvan is you from Israel, you leave Israel. From the holiness of Jerusalem, you go back into your materialism. But the theme of the Parsha is leave your materialism and go into holy. Go to Israel. And even though in this week's Parsha, it also speaks about the point of history that something happened in the land of Egypt. There was a terrible hunger and Abraham had to leave Israel and go to Egypt. That's true. That is mentioned in Parsha Lech Lecha. But we know that the theme of a Parsha is based on the name of the Parsha. And the name of the Parsha is called Lech Lecha, which emphasizes the going from the diaspora and making an aliyah to Israel. In other words, even though it does mention a point in the story that Abraham had to leave Israel because of the hunger to survive it, but that's not the main theme of the Parsha. The main theme of the Parsha is what the name is. Lech Lecha, go out of the diaspora and go into Israel. And most of the Parsha actually talks about Abraham's presence in Israel. And since the whole idea of the Torah is to teach you a lesson, that means the lesson has to be a lesson in the weekly portion. As the Alter Rebbe announced once, he said, in Yiddish, he said, "Man darf leben mit der Zeit." You have to live with the time. It doesn't mean living with the news. Living with the time, the Chassidim came to Alter Rebbe's brother, his name was Rabbi Yehuda Leib, they called him the Ma'aril, and they asked him, "Could you find out from your brother, from the Rebbe, what did he mean when he said you have to live with the time?" So he went to his brother and he found out what it means. Live with the time means you have to live with the weekly Parsha. A person, a Jew, should be reading the daily Parsha Chumash every day, the one Aliyah, and by Shabbos, you're totally an expert in it, and then you know you can live with it. You look for clues in the Parsha. So since the weekly Parsha is a lesson to live by it, live with the times, live with the Parsha, that means the idea of the 7th of Cheshvan must somehow fit with the theme of the Parsha. So on one hand, you're telling me 7th of Cheshvan means go home to your materialism. The other hand, you're telling me that the Parsha itself is telling you to go out of the diaspora and go into the holiness, which is the right direction. How do we reconcile these two different paths? Especially the idea of 7th of Cheshvan is not something that's only relevant during the time when the temple stood, when people actually went up to Jerusalem. We know that the idea of the 7th of Cheshvan is something that applies in all times. Therefore, even today, when do we start asking for rain, even though we don't have the temple? On the 7th of Cheshvan. In Israel, they start on the 7th of Cheshvan. They're going to start Friday, the 7th of Cheshvan. Like the Alter Rebbe brings down in his Shulchan Aruch. The Alter Rebbe writes in the Code of Jewish Law clearly that even after the destructions of the temple, Jews would gather together from all parts of the country, and they would come from all directions. They would come to Jerusalem for the holiday, like we do even today. People go to Israel, to Jerusalem. Therefore, we did not abolish this custom to ask for rain on the 7th of Cheshvan. And this is relevant everywhere, even in the diaspora. The date of 7th of Cheshvan is also a special day. Like the commentary of the Shach says, that if a person wrote a document, let's say you wrote a document to somebody that, whatever, I took a loan from you and this is the contract we have, right? And you wrote down that I'm going to pay you back after the holiday or before the holiday's over. What does that mean? It means up to 15 days after the holiday. In other words, even though we don't have the temple, we're in exile, nevertheless, when it says after the holiday, if I'm going to pay you back or whatever the deal is about after the holiday, it means for the 15 days. That means the 7, the Cheshvan, does play a big role even in our days. So what is the connection? How do you figure this thing out? When the 7th of Cheshvan means going away from Jerusalem, going away from the spirituality back into the material world, to the point that now we should even start begging, asking for rain. And the other hand, Parshat Lech Lecha says, go out of your land of materialism and go to Israel, to the place I'm going to show you. So the Rebbe says like this, the idea itself, that what is the job from a Jew when you leave the Beis HaMikdash, the temple? There must be a benefit when you leave the temple. There must be something that you take with you that you're going to do something greater and higher. And perhaps that's why it's called Lech Lecha. You're going. Going means like going up. So it's understood that specifically when a person packs up and you leave the temple and you go back to your home, wherever you live, and you go to rake the fields and sow the fields, what are you doing by doing that? In other words, you're going to go work and make a living. It means you're going to take the material things that you're working with and you're going to make it into a dwelling place for Hashem through doing the things as the Torah asks you to do commerce, right? To do things with Torah and study Torah and do mitzvahs. Till everything you do is for the purpose of God's name. Everything you do is just to declare Hashem's oneness, etc. That's the whole point. So you're going back into the world to elevate the world. That, of course, you can't do when you're in Jerusalem, when you're by the temple, the time of the holiday. Because when you're there for the holiday, you're not working. You're not certainly not working your fields. You're not going to do business at that time. So in other words, you're not involved with the material low parts of the world. But from the 7th of Cheshvan and onwards, when Jews go back to their work of their fields, the raking, etc., you're making a dwelling place in the material world. As the expression from King Solomon, where more light is created from a darker place. In other words, the more materialism's around you, that's what you, the emphasis of your light becomes, comes out even more. So, and that's the true Lech Lecha of a Jew. Going. Your going means I'm going to cause a purpose. When you're in Jerusalem, you can't really cause that purpose of elevating the world because you're not involved in the world. You're like at a spiritual status. But when you're going, Lech Lecha, you're going to do your mission. You're going to elevate the world. Like we say in general, when your soul comes down into this world, what's the point of your soul coming down into this material world? To make this world a better place, a godly place, a place that should be a dwelling place for Hashem to dwell there. And through this, you make the world and your soul, everything, elevate even higher. That's the job. So too, when you come out of Jerusalem, you come out and being at the temple, that was the job, to make the world a better, holier place. So that's true. We have a concept of a Lech Lecha, of going somewhere to make something holy. But what's still not satisfactory in this idea of explaining to us about this Lech Lecha idea, because how does that fit with the simple narrative of the Torah? The simple story is that Abraham had to go from Haran, from the diaspora, to go to Eretz Yisrael, to Israel, where he said, Lech Lecha, you should go from this material land to the spiritual place. So how do you explain this idea of going for the purpose in connection to the simple narrative of the story of the Torah, that Abraham went? Did he go to Israel to make it holy? Why did he go? What's going on over here? So, to understand this, we need to understand the difference between what does it mean that a Jew is in Jerusalem and what does it mean that you're not. When you are in Jerusalem, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple, you are, as the expression is, you're standing Lifnei Hashem, you're in front of God. Certainly in comparison to the stage you were before you came to Jerusalem. when you were back at home working your fields, and you were not standing in front of God. That means where you were coming from is considered to be a lower level than by standing in front of Hashem. But nevertheless, there's a great quality when you are far and not in Jerusalem all the time. There's something about that. How do you explain that there's a greatness in not being there? So to understand this, the Rebbe explains to us by using the analogy of what's the difference between a worker, a hired, paid worker, and a shliach, a messenger. The difference is like this. A hired worker generally is in the same place where his boss is, or at least in the same place where the belongings of this boss is. So either you're in the presence of your boss, you're working for him or her, or you're running a company or whatever it is, you're doing some work for your boss, so you're involved and you're connected to the belongings of your boss. That's a worker. How about a shliach? A shliach means you're an emissary, you're a messenger. In general, a messenger means you're not present with your boss. That's what it means, shliach. I'm sending you somewhere. I'm sending you away from me to go do something for me. Now, when you send a messenger to do something for you, not necessarily are you actually connected to my belongings also. It just means that you're doing an action for me, but it doesn't mean that you're with my things, my cattle or whatever. There's another way to understand the difference in the quality, in the purpose of a worker and a messenger. A worker works for himself. That's why you're working. You're working to get paid. You want to get reward. A shliach is different. A messenger is doing it not for himself. The messenger is doing it because I'm going to fulfill the mission that you sent me to go do for you. A shliach, a messenger, is not called a hired worker. That's a different terminology. A messenger means I ask you to please take this envelope and drop it off there. That's a messenger. Why are you dropping that off? Because you're the person who sent you, asked you. So you're not doing it for yourself. If you got paid for it, you'd be a worker. Then you would be doing it for yourself. Therefore, a worker, a hired person, since you're doing it all for yourself, there's a big debate if what you're doing, could the person who hired you take the credit for what you did, because you did it for yourself. In other words, who gets the credit for accomplishing this job? The worker or his boss? The worker got it done. Let's use our example. When a worker gets something done, it's a very skillful worker. You hired somebody to build a desk for you. You can't give the credit to the person who hired him you built such a beautiful desk. The credit's going to go to the person who built it. You could only give credit to the guy. Oh, wow, you picked a good guy. But you can't say that you did it. We're not going to say you're the talented guy. It's the worker gets the credit because he did it. So in most cases, you can't give the credit to the person who hired. But a shliach is different. Even though the messenger is not present in the same place with his mishaleach, with the person who sent him, since you're doing it, why? For the mishaleach you're doing. You're doing it for the person that sent you. That means that as if, it's just as if, the person who sent you did it himself. Even more, you give the entire credit to the person that sent you, because you're nothing. You're like a non-entity, really. You just did it for him. So it's really the person who sent you, he's getting the whole credit. It was his thing. It happens to be that he did it through you. Which is actually the highest level in a shliach. The Rebbe brings in the footnote from a very famous book that the Rebbe quotes a lot of times in the three different levels of a shliach. And the highest, from a book called Rabbi Yosef Engel. The book is called Lekach Tov, written by a big sage named Rabbi Yosef Engel. And he speaks, there are three levels of a shliach. The highest level is that when the shliach, the messenger, does it completely for the person who sent him. And in that case, it's as if the person who sent you is the one who's doing it. So it's not just that the action goes to the credit of the person who sent him, but the shliach himself becomes an entity of the person who sent him. Now, it's interesting, by the way, just to digress for a moment about the subject of shliach. When the Rebbe sent out his shluchim, he sent out his messengers to be his messenger. He uses the term shliach. He doesn't use the term soicher, I hired you to do it. You were appointed to be the messenger. Now, when a shliach goes out, when he does the right thing, who gets the credit? People don't say, this guy, hey, great guy. No, they say, wow, look at the Rebbe's power, the Rebbe's blessing. The credit goes to the one who sends. The shliach, it's not about him or her. They're completely submitted to accomplish the job of why they were sent there. It's not a job, it's a life thing. And therefore, there's a lot of responsibility there. Because if you don't do the right thing, or if you mess up, whose name is on the line? And that's what's important. And every shliach understands this responsibility, because you are representing the mishaleach, the one who sent you. So when the job gets done, it's the mishaleach who gets the credit for the job. And that's the difference of a worker over a shliach. Now, why is this so important here in our subject here? Because this is going to give us some light to understand what's the real way to understand the parsha Lech Lecha. Abraham went from the diaspora. He left a certain lifestyle of the diaspora, a certain mission that he was accomplishing there, and he went up to Eretz Yisrael, to the Holy Land. With this idea of the difference of the worker and the shliach, we can understand this well. Because this is the same difference in the spiritual sense between a Jew when he goes up to Jerusalem, standing lifnei Hashem, in front of God, in the place of your boss, to when you do your work back at home, in your vineyards, etc. When you go up for the holiday, aliyah l'regel, you went up with your feet to celebrate the holiday. What did you have when you got there? Every person was able to see the face of God. As it says, Yirah kol zchorchas p'nei Adon Hashem. It says, oh, another verse, it says, it's p'nei Hashem alikecha, I could see the face of God. Parsha Kisisa. And just like you come to see, you also come to be seen. Jews came on the holiday to absorb, to take it in. Take in what? The revelation of godliness that took place in the temple. when you came to the temple, you were able to see the 10 miracles that took place in the temple, as it's brought down in Pirkei Avos, of what those 10 miracles are. When you came to the temple, you were able to see these miracles. And you were able to see the place of the divine presence. You were able to see the Kohanim doing their work. You were able to see the Levim, the Levites, doing their singings and playing. You were able to see the Israelite people doing their works in the temple. But when you went to do all this experience, it was all for you. You went to get this absorption of all this great excitement there. You recognized this. You swallowed it in. Which is like a soul in the Garden of Eden. It's just taking in the pleasures of the ray of the divine presence of the Shekhinah. That's all when you come up to the temple. When you go away from the temple and you come back, everybody to their home on the 7th of Cheshvan, it's not in order to be able to see Hashem, that you should be able to feel it, the holiness. On the contrary, you had that when you were in front of Hashem, in the place that Hashem chose, the temple. But what's the goal of coming back home? To fulfill your mission. To fulfill the intention of Hashem. To fulfill Torah and mitzvahs. To make the world a dwelling place for Hashem. And that's when you become the shliach. You become the messenger of God, which means you become like God himself, because that is being, that's the messenger that sent you to be the messenger. So when you get home, back into the material world, you're actually now the shliach to fulfill the mission of why you were sent back into this world, back to your home. So what you see is that going to the temple was absorbing it all. Going home was to unpack your suitcases, unpack what you got there, take it and bring it into the world of the physical world. Now we understand why on the 7th of Cheshvan, you come back from going into the temple. Why is that called Lech Lecha? We thought until now, what does it mean Lech Lecha? Leaving the Dcharan, the diaspora, and going into Israel. Now he's showing you the real meaning of Lech Lecha. The real meaning of Lech Lecha means going into a new phase, a new stage, transforming yourself into a different person now. Much different than the way you were before. Before, you went up to be Ha'olah Regel, you went up to the temple. The whole point was to see Hashem. It was about you to see Hashem. Me as a body, as a human physical being, I should be able to absorb and get this appreciation of godliness. But when I left, I have to go fulfill my responsibilities that God put upon me. That's a whole different kind of transformation of a moving. Lech lecha, going, but it's a different kind of going. I'm going from the place where I absorbed all my energy and going to fulfill the mission that God placed upon us. And therefore, the service to Hashem of doing Torah and mitzvahs and making this dwelling place starts when? On the 7th of Cheshvan. And that is precisely connected to Lech Lecha, because that's the real Lech Lecha. The real Lech Lecha is go and become a different person. Move into the mode of fulfilling your mission. Till now, you absorb the strength for it, and now you're all geared up, you're full of energy, you're full of your wealth, and now go spend it. Go do your task. Based on all of this, we could understand the connection of the name of the Parsha, which talks about the going of Abraham, who went from the diaspora to Israel. How do we understand this? What was the whole job of Abraham after he was in the diaspora? What did he do in the diaspora? We once spoke at length at what age he recognized the existence of a God. Whether it was 3, whether it was 40, whatever, the different opinions. But the point is, when he was in the diaspora, he spread godliness and he brought people to serve and worship Hashem. As the verse says, he took with him as hanefesh, the people, the soul, asher asu b'charan, that he made in Haran. The sages tell us that what does it mean the people he made in Haran? It says that Avraham converted the men and Sarah converted women. They did conversion classes wholesale, and they convinced people of the belief and believing in monotheism, and that's how they started to convert the people. So he took with them the people that they got to recognize God. As the Rambam says in a very detail, he started to let the word be known that there's no point to serve any other god of the world and only to worship and serve and bow to God and bring your offerings to God, to recognize the creator of the world. And he started to gather together big crowds that there's only one God and this is the most appropriate place to worship. But what was the lacking part in here? If this is what he did in the diaspora. The limiting part was that he did this because he recognized the Creator. He recognized and understood with his own mind the true path, that this is the right way of understanding things. That means the serving of God and spreading godliness was because he recognized it. He became strong enough to be able to answer debates, to answer people, he knew what to answer. So he went to notify people that what they were doing were wrong. But then came a second stage. After it was he that came to that conclusion that there's only one God, comes a second stage that God comes to him and says, I have a commandment for you. I'm commanding you, lech lecha, leave your hometown, and now go to Israel and start spreading godliness. But now he's not doing it anymore because he understood it. He's doing it because I'm fulfilling a commandment that Hashem wants me to do. That is the level of a shliach. A messenger doesn't have to understand anything. He just needs to know what he needs to do. Before you're a shliach, like Avraham, he was able to do it because that's what he was teaching, because it made sense to him. This, it was only logic. Right, we know that his father, Terach, had a big wholesale business of idols. I told you he owned Idols R Us. And he came to the conclusion that that all was bumamisis and garbage, and he broke the idols and etc. Right? He came to the conclusion that that was all false. But now, he's on a different mission. Now there's a mission, a message that he needs to carry because God told him to do this. And therefore, now, coming into Israel, he started to do a new thing. He had to make Hashem's name be called out. The verse says, Vayikra b'shem Hashem. He had to call out, get the name of God to be called out. Before he was also spreading God. But in Israel, he was revealing godliness. God told him, go because I'm telling you to go. Lech lecha, I'm commanding you to go. This is a different story. Rashi puts it like this. Now, it's the God of the heaven, the God of the earth, that should be a common thing on the lips, on the mouth of the creations of people. When I took you from your father's home, he was the God of the heaven, but he wasn't recognized as the God of the earth. Meaning people didn't on their own go out and call out God. It wasn't an automatic thing that when you ask somebody, how are you doing? And they didn't say, thank God. They didn't declare that on their own. If you convince them and you push them to it, they did it. But it wasn't something that they did. In other words, it was like the God of heaven, very nice. But does the earth feel that this is God? Even though, of course, even in the diaspora, Abraham spread the godliness of the, in the world. But it wasn't that people recognized it. He understood it, but it wasn't something that the people grasped it. But in Israel, it turned to a new level mission. He would get the people to call out Hashem. In other words, it's like this. The spreading, the publicizing of godliness when he was in the diaspora in Haran, because it was connected with his recognition, it was done in a way that the world stayed a separate entity of godliness. It didn't flow together as one entity. But by spreading the message through God's commanding him to go there, then he was able to do it on a new level, to get everybody else to call out Hashem's name. Not that he called out Hashem's name. You don't read it Vayikra, you read it Vayakri, which means that he made the name be called out. And this is why the verse tells us with so many verbs, so many expressions about the mission, go to this land. God didn't just say, go to Israel, to the place that I'm going to show you. He said, go from the land, from your land, go from your birthplace, from your father's home. What are all these expressions? And the answer is, to go out means something very unique. You have to go out of yourself. Go out of your box. Till now, you did it based on your comfort zone. Whatever you recognized, you taught. What you intellectually grasped, you were able to teach. But more than that, that's it. To go out of yourself, Hashem has to tell him, go out of your land, go out of your birthplace, go out of your home. Like Chassidus puts it like this. They say like this, Me'artzecha, go out of your land. Artzecha is the same word, the root word is Ratzah, it means desires. Go out of your comfort zone of your desires. Go out of your birthplace means your emotions, the place that you're comfortable in, the place that you're used to. Go out of the place that you're so used to in your emotions. Go out of your father's home. Father represents wisdom, Chachmah. As we spoke many times, if you break it down even more, father represents Chachma, the mother represents Bina. Go away from the place, from intellect. Because you have to go out of your birthplace, your land, your birthplace, your father. Go out of you. That's already a whole new thing. Become a new entity of holiness. Go to the place that I'm going to show you. Go to the land where Hashem is going to show you. This was accomplished in this unbelievable level of transformation for Avram, that he became now a shliach of Hashem. A shliach means you're not your own identity anymore. It's not about you, your desires, your birthplace, your emotions, your parents' way of upbringing, of thinking. No, you become now a messenger of God. That's it. You move into a whole new frame of work. And then you can become connected to Hashem. And that is the best place to have the preparation of uniting together the higher worlds and the lower worlds that happens through the giving of the Torah. And this is the lesson that we take from the 7th of Cheshvan, which always falls out in the week of Lech Lecha, teaching us the following, that in the time of exile, this is the time that we have to go out from the things that we were used to doing in the holy settings, and we go into our mundane world, in the Vachadiketeg. You go out into the weekday kind of stuff. Everybody has to know that this has to be done in a way that it should not lead to being sad, melancholy, or depressed, God forbid. On the contrary, you have to do it with great joy, knowing that I am now a shliach of Hashem. And a shliach of Hashem means I'm a messenger of Hashem, means it's Hashem himself doing this to fulfill the mission, the higher calling, to make this world a dwelling place. And this needs to be done in a revealed way to the entire world till we have the ultimate, complete redemption with the coming of Mashiach, when we're going to have godliness revealed in a way that every flesh could be able to see it. So in summation, what's the summary here of the connection between the seventh of Cheshvan, which means going back into the world, to the idea of Lech Lecha, leave the world and go into the Holy Land? The connection is in how we understand what it means going out of the material world and going into Israel. What that meant is that you move from the stage of being like a hired worker, which means you use your own intellect, to becoming the shliach, which is, it's not about you. Now you absorb all the energy from the holidays, no problem, like Avram absorbed it in Israel, but that wasn't the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal was to take it and spread it and bring it into the material world. And that's really the same theme of the seventh of Cheshvan. The theme of seventh of Cheshvan is going home into the world. The real meaning of Lech Lecha means going out of your comfort zone, your own intellect, your own space that you're used to, and going, taking it into the world to make a dwelling place, to the point that you are now not about you, it's about who I work for. Not work for as work, but who am I the messenger for? And that's the connection between these two. So with this, we conclude this.